It's that time on the radio where we sit and listen quietly to Bill Blevins and Blevins Franks, if we can, at least. And today, Bill, we're talking about the UK statutory residence test. Now, of course, people often talk about tax planning and how to reduce taxes. But is it fair to say the starting point should be to establish where you are living, where you are resident for tax purposes?
Hi, Howard. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, all UK expatriates need to understand where they're resident before you can start making plans as to how to use that residence to best advantage in terms of your wealth, in terms of the income tax and capital gains tax and succession tax regime and other taxes that you may become subject to. And also to recognise, as we spoke about last week, that when you're planning for all these things, As a UK expatriate, you want to be sure that if ever you decide to go back to the UK in the future, that you've got a sort of a window of opportunity within your financial planning strategy to accommodate that as well. I made this point last week that it's possible for the UK HMRC to determine that you're a UK resident, even though you believe yourself to be a resident of one of the continental countries of Europe. That the test about residence is now a definite process in determining your resident status, and that status will apply for income tax and capital gains, and in some cases for inheritance tax as well.
So the UK introduced this statutory resident test in 2013. Mm. How does it differ, Bill, from the previous system?
Well, the previous system wasn't defined in statute. It was ill-defined, if you like, and it was measured often on a case-by-case basis. There was a guidance, a booklet called IR, Inland Revenue 1, Inland Revenue 20, IR 20, and that booklet was extensive, and it gave lots of advice about how you could determine your resident status. However, back in the earlier part of the last decade, a gentleman called Gaines Cooper was challenged as to his resident status, and despite the fact that he had followed all of the notes in the guidance notes, IR 20, issued by the Inland Revenue, as it was called at that time, he was found in an inquiry to be a UK resident for tax purposes. Why was that? Well, because they believed that he was effectively selecting against the revenue and using the guidance notes to his best advantage and to disadvantaging the revenue. And there was a huge outcry from the professionals within the tax planning industry, which said, look, if you follow the guidance notes but to the letter, and you're still at the end of it, having followed those notes to the letter, found to be a UK resident, how can we possibly give advice with any certainty? And there was an ongoing debate following that with the revenue, and they issued a number of discussion documents, and it was agreed eventually that they would move into law, into statute, a manner by which you could actually specifically designate your residence for certain.
So what makes you a tax resident in the UK?
Let's talk about what makes you automatically a resident of the UK. You are automatically a resident of UK if you meet one of the following criteria. If you spend at least 183 days in the UK in the current tax year, remember that is the April to April tax year. Secondly, if your only or your main home is in the UK, that's to say a property that's available that you can use for 91 days or more, if you actually use it for at least 30 days, and finally, if you work full time in the UK for at least 365 days without a break from work of 31 days or more, in those circumstances, you're automatically treated as a resident.
And what makes you a non-UK resident for tax purposes?
Again, you're automatically not resident in the UK if you meet any one of these three conditions. If you weren't resident in the UK in any of the previous three tax years and you spend less than 46 days in the UK in the current year, so in the last 3 years you haven't spent you haven't been a resident and you spend less than 46 days in the UK current tax year, you're automatically not resident. If you were resident in one or more of the previous 3 years, but spend fewer than 16 days in the current year, automatically not resident. If you work overseas full time and spend no more than 30 days working in the UK, a work day from HMRC's point of view, is 3 or more hours. I don't know anyone who works 3 hours in a day and calls it a day's work, but that's what they say. But no, and if you spend no more than 90 days in the UK in those circumstances, then you're automatically not resident of the UK.
So for listeners in Spain, Bill, what happens if your residence is not determined by those two tests?
Yeah, this is where it becomes a little more complex. If your residence position to decide whether you're automatically resident or automatically non-resident, if it's not determined by those two sets of tests, then you have to move on to what's known as the sufficient ties, T-I-E-S, the sufficient ties test, and that comes into play. Now, those ties, there are five of them, are your family, your spouse, and your minor children living in the UK. So the second is having what's called accessible accommodation, if it's available to you for 91 days or more, even if you only spend one night in it. That's your second sufficient tie. The third is if you work, but if you spend 40 or more days working in the UK. The fourth is the 90-day rule, if you spent 90 days or more in the UK in either of the previous two tax years. And the last is your country. If you spend more days in the UK than any other single country, then you could, in certain circumstances, also be found to be a resident. Now, the test operates on a sort of a sliding scale. So whilst those sufficient ties, those five in number, are there, you have to go through each of them very carefully, understanding what they mean, and tick a box as to whether you meet any one of those requirements. And of course, the more tick boxes that you tick in those sufficient ties, the closer you move to residence of the UK. In some cases, you might be a resident of the UK if you spend very little time in the UK, and in other cases, you might be able to spend up to 120 days in the UK without becoming a UK resident. Now, whilst it's now clear by statute when you do and if you don't become a UK tax resident or not, the circumstances are such that the statutory test requires careful interpretation, application, and then it requires it to be applied to your circumstances in a very careful manner to make sure you don't breach those rules. Because whereas the previous rules were guidance notes not defined in statute, you can understand how someone used those to their advantage. They might find themselves in hot water. Now there is a statutory guideline. We can be 100% certain as to whether you're a UK tax resident or not. But the rules are too complex for you often to be able to understand that without advice.
Yeah. So overall, Bill, would you say this test makes life easier for British expatriates in Spain?
I don't know whether it makes life easier. What it does make easier is for the advisor that the individual uses to determine the position of tax residence for that individual. Now, it's very important that you don't misunderstand the statutory residence test, having taken it. And if you have taken that test and there's still uncertainty, you need to understand carefully this sufficient ties test. Now, as a matter of interest, Blevins Franks have produced a very simple two-sided page, two sides to a piece of paper, flow chart indicating both the statutory residence test and the sufficient ties test to help individuals work out for themselves where they're getting to. And of course, if you would like to have a copy of that, you can go to the website blevinsfranks.com and call your local office and ask them if they might give you a copy of something that will help you to work out whether you are officially by statute a resident or not of the UK.
And of course, Spain has its own rules on tax residence. What happens if you meet the residency criteria of both Spain and the UK?
Well, of course, that's when the old hoary chestnut of the UK-Spain double tax treaty comes into play. It's a fairly old treaty. Well, it was the first UK-Spain double tax treaty, I think, signed back in 1975. But since 2014, there's been a new UK-Spain double tax treaty, and that replaces almost entirely the previous treaty. Now, this treaty has got what you might call a tiebreaker clause that comes into operation if, under the rules of each country, you're resident in both the UK under their rules and in Spain under theirs. Now, the purpose of that is to factually determine in which country you will be regarded as resident for the purposes of the taxes covered by the agreement. You can't be resident in both. The set of checks and balances that are in place under the double tax treaty are formally to determine where you are resident for tax purposes. You can't choose where you're resident. It's a de facto matter defined under law and within the double tax treaty. You simply need to go through that process to find out where you are resident for that purpose. And as I say, you know, I don't mean to be rude, Howard, and I certainly never intend ever to be disrespectful to anyone listening to this programme or any other individual for that matter. But I so often hear barrack room lawyers related stories told to me at dinner parties in Spain about where they know they're resident and where they know they're not resident, and frankly I would say half the time they get it wrong.
Did you think that taking UK nationals in Spain, do you think they often get their tax residency wrong?
Yeah.
And of course we've got Brexit on the horizon, so perhaps they should make sure exactly what their resident status is or get it sorted out.
I think some people get it wrong just because they've interpreted the rules incorrectly. Some people get it wrong because they have actually been advised by inappropriate advisors, if you like. You've got it wrong. Whereas the statutory residence test is there for everyone to determine whether they're a resident of the UK or not. And the Spanish rules are there to determine by law whether you're resident there or not. And there's this tiebreaker if you are, for whatever reason, liable for tax in the jurisdiction in which you came from and the one you're in. If you're resident in both, then the double tax treaty will sort out where you pay your tax. And as we know, although Brexit is coming along, that won't affect the double tax treaty. The double tax treaty has got absolutely nothing to do with the EU and Brexit. I mean, the double tax treaty was originally put together in 1975, shortly after Britain joined the common market. But the simple truth is that that won't change because of Brexit. But there is an important issue here. There will be rights and privileges to those people who have acquired residency in their new country of residence, in my opinion. I mean, we know that no one has yet conceded that they're going to give any benefits to expatriates living in the UK, nor to UK nationals living as expatriates elsewhere. But it's pretty certain that if you have acquired a residence in the place in which you now live in Spain, and you're paying your taxes there legitimately, you're unlikely to find very much difference going forward, in my opinion, once these negotiations are concluded, because Spain do not want the expatriates living there to leave. They want more and more of them to come, if possible, because they benefit the economy. And so now is the time to make sure you've got your resident status absolutely right.
It's very interesting today, Bill. Thank you for it. We'll talk again at the same time next week. And, of course, people can go to your website.
Sure. If you go to the website, as I say, you'll find the telephone number of the office closest to where you live. And if you ask the people in that office to give you a copy of the statutory residence test, it's on the same page. It's on the same piece of paper as a sufficient ties test. It's simply on two sides of the same sheet of paper. It will help to give you some guidance about whether you are or are not UK resident, because it's easier to slip up. And we'd love to hear from you.
Excellent. Talk at the same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Have a good week.